This processor is transcendence. The key to artificial life.
I don't care. Does it work?
Yeah, it works. And four of my guys were killed in procuring it.
Irregardless. Fuck with us,
and you're dead. But you know that already, man.
Irregardless.
You heard me. If you're trying to pawn off some sort of whatever.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on a sec. Did you just say irregardless? The fuck are you talking about, man? Did you not just say irregardless? You fuck with us, you die.
Yeah, that's what I said. You fuck with us, and you're dead. Am I speaking in a riddle?
Okay, huh? Well, just technically, it should be regardless. You fuck with us, you die.
You fucking with me right now? Because you did just hear me say the whole part about you fuck with us and you're dead. Right? I mean, you did hear that, right?
I heard that.
Yeah.
I'm also hearing you say a word that doesn't exist in the English language. Irregardless, it's not a word.
Well, holy shit, professor. Are we in an English class? Or are we doing a fucking business transaction? You see, because now I'm thinking, maybe you're fucking with us.
Whoa! Just take it easy, everybody. Just take it easy. Nobody is fucking with you. We're all here to do business, okay? So let's just focus on the reason we came. Irregardless of your grammar. You see how dumb that sounds? Irregardless. It just sounds weird.
Give us the goddamn chip.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. Just say Internet Airwaves. It sounds really cool.
Alright. Sorry, I'm just...
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, your host, Mark Scalia.
And welcome once again to another broadcast of Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And thank you guys for joining us once again for a live broadcast. And I've been talking to several people and like, hey, you got a little podcasting thing. No. This is LIVE live radio, and that's what we do. And the shows are archived only for about a week, and the last week's show is actually going off tonight because the new show is broadcasting right now. So that is what we got going on. So if it's your first time listening to Radio Irregardless, we are your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless, which means we really care, but we kind of sound like we don't kind of thing. And I don't know why we're saying we. Even I'm talking about myself in third person, which is kind of freaky, but we'll get along just the same, no problem. And we've got an amazing show for you guys tonight. I did not have a lot of time to go over the monologue today because I was busy with production of all the games that we're going to play. And yes, there'll be some games to be played. And so far, we have three people on it. Three. Yes, three so far, I think, and people listening through my website. Thank you for listening through my website as well. So there is no real prepared monologue tonight. I apologize. But I do want to say one thing. The end is near as far as the winter goes, I think. Today it snowed. It wasn't supposed to, but it snowed and then it turned to rain immediately. And I literally crawled in a, I just got into the fetal position and I started rocking. I just did. I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to. It was just the worst thing ever. And for those of you who are in the Northeast, like myself, it's been literally snowing continuously. And I can't even do monologues on snow anymore. I just can't. I've run out of things to say. I've run out. But however, we do have a new sponsor. And I just got the sponsor today. It's an amazing new product. And I'm trying to get the promo. That's what I was working on. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the new... This is in place of an actual monologue, let's actually listen to our newest sponsor.
Are you seasonally depressed? If so, CSUN Depressitol may be right for you. CSUN Depressitol can help with seasonal depression. Millions are already taking CSUN Depressitol, and you can be too. Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depression, mood, suicidal thoughts or actions while using CSUN Depressitol. Other side effects include, but are not limited to, anxiety, panic, aggression, anger, mania, abnormal sensation, hallucinations, paranoia, and confusion. Serious allergic or skin reactions such as rash, swelling, redness and peeling of the skin, swelling of the face, mouth, and throat that can cause trouble breathing. The most common side effects of CSUN Depressitol include nausea, sleep problems, constipation, excessive gas, vomiting, trouble sleeping, vivid or unusual dreams. If taking CSUN Depressitol has any of the aforementioned effects, stop taking it immediately and just deal with the fucking winter. Get on a plane, buy a sun lamp, yell at strangers. Good luck. It's gonna be a long one.
CSUN Depressitol, it's actually very good for you, and that's one of our new sponsors because I couldn't take it anymore. It's a work in progress. I don't even have it completely polished up yet. But that's the drug I'm going to take. And if not, it's whiskey mixed with tequila and probably wine. I don't know if it's any good, but fuck it. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on myself. With me on the lines are my two amazing guests. And you might have seen the caption for this show. This is Takeout from the Left Coast. And when I come back, I will explain exactly what all that means. We're going to be playing some games. And of course, we have our normal listeners on here waiting for the games. And that's what we're going to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I prepare, as I should have, I thank you for joining. Thank you for joining Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And when we come back, we are going to meet our guest. Oh, by the way, I did want to say this. Couple games we're going to be playing, which we haven't played in a while. We're going to be playing Jigsaw's Word Games. He's back. He's had a long winter, and he's ready to kill. So we're going to have our contestants see if they can play Jigsaw's Word Games. And of course, because people need some good, it's winter, and we need good sax in our lives. Sounds Like Sax to Me is coming back, and we're going to play it with my two amazing guests when we come back. You are listening to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. We'll be right back.
At a wedding toast, he confessed to giving the bride chlamydia. People know him as that guy. He'll ask about your children at a urinal. He once approached an undercover officer for drugs in front of a police station. He is the most inappropriate man in the world.
I don't often drink beer, but when I do, it's at an AA meeting. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Hi, this is comedian actor John M. Keating, and you're listening to
Radio Irregardless,
hosted by my very good dear friend
Mark Scalia.
Okay, yeah, that's good. You can just put whatever you want in there. I don't give a shit. Whatever.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a short break, but it's well needed for me to just to keep up with everything. And as we were on break, we have a few more people joining online. Thank you so much, guys. Joining me via the phone, because last week when we did the phone calls, it actually worked out a lot better. I don't know if I'm going to do Skype. Skype is an option, of course. Of course, I don't want to badmouth any of my technology sponsors. But joining me on the phone is Bill Dykes and Jody Furtick. Bill, Jody, say hi to our listening audience, if you will.
Hello there, listening audience.
There we go. And Jody is very much under the weather, so Jody is playing the silent but deadly contestant tonight, so she'll be having some fun. So she's doing what she can with, and they're calling, and you guys are actually calling from where?
West Hollywood, baby.
West Hollywood, and how? What's the temperature there? Yeah, the fucking pull. Yes. Actually, I was watching the Weather Channel, and this is a few weeks ago, you know, when it was just, you know, mid-January, and people were like, they were talking to people in L.A. They're like, oh, my God, it is so cold. It's like 50 degrees. I had to put a sweater on. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill you, motherfuckers.
Jacket out at night. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Seriously. Now I'm a wuss. Now, seriously, I like, where's my jacket? I have to go walk the dog.
Where is my two caps in the house and it's cold?
Well, it's like a vibrating jacket.
It is like a vibrating jacket. That's good.
Oh, and I got to tell you this. Of course, I came back from commercial and I had your volumes down. So the listening audience has no idea. So let's start again. As if I told you, what did I tell you before we talked? Before we ended, I go, I've never had a technically perfect show and I'm going to keep that fucking streak alive. Joining me for my listening audience now on the phone is...
Everything we just said.
No. See, they heard me. They just didn't hear you. I mean, oh my God. Of course, my fucking mic was up. My God. How fucking stupid would that be to put my mic down? That's just insane. But yeah, they are joining me from West Hollywood, and it is 70 degrees, and I fucking hate them. So.
Hey, well, we have no water here. So eventually when summertime rolls around, everything's drying up like Mad Max land.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think you guys aren't familiar with one of the comics here. His name is Joe Yannetti, who actually lived in California for a while. And he says, I moved to California. And people are like, oh, we don't have the seasons. We don't have seasons. He goes, yeah, you got seasons. He goes, you got summer. Everything's dry like a son of a bitch. He goes, somebody throws a lit match out the window. Boom. You get fire. That's the second season. And then it rains and everything's so dry, it puts out the fire. But unfortunately, it turns into mud. He goes, mud's your third season.
That's pretty much it, man.
That's pretty much it.
You got it down.
He goes, and then you have sunshine for that last season. That's the last season you have. So,
I never thought I would get sick of sunshine, but I am. I'm like, I actually hate it. You know, I lived in New Orleans most of my life, and it never rained. Like, it drizzled, and everybody was like, it's raining in L.A. I'm like, that's mist, because it's not rain.
Yeah.
Rain leaves a mark. This is stupid.
Yeah. They all flow over the line, like there's a fire truck coming when it drizzles.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, they can't drive.
Good. So I will do this for my listening audience. I will let you guys introduce yourself. And you guys don't know this, but I always go in alphabetical order, last name. So, Bill, you have to go first. And please tell the listening audience who you are and what you do. And we'll get into the other thing about the two of you guys in a little bit. But please tell the listening audience who you are and where you're from. And
what a good evening, listening audience. My name is Bill Dykes, as the aforementioned conversation has led to. I have been at stand up comic, traveling gypsy jackass, part-time actor, full-time drink slinger at occasion, and basically just avoiding any sort of real adult responsibilities. I lived in New Orleans most of my life. I'm currently in West Hollywood, California, though who knows how long this is going to last.
And Bill, the first time I met you, I was I got invited to the New Orleans Comedy Festival, and I think it was 1999. And I come off the plane, literally on the jetway, and you were standing there with a piece of paper that said Scalia on it, and I was like, oh, this is the first time this ever happened. It was like the coolest thing, and I was treated very well.
Oh, that's sad.
No, it was you. But I've never had anybody waiting for me at the, well, one time, and that guy just threw me in the trunk. It was a long fucking ride. But when I showed up at the airport, you just standing there, and you're like, oh, you one of the comics. I figured I'd pick you up. I'm like, oh, you didn't have to do this. I could. No, it's no problem. And then we got in your car.
Oh, no.
And I don't remember what model it was, but you were like, you got the air conditioner. It can work. And don't worry about it. And I was like, is it always so hot here? And you went, yeah, the gills start to come in after the third day. And I will never forget that.
And then it was August. When we picked August, because there was never anything going on in New Orleans in late August. And there's a reason for that, because it's a fucking steam basket.
Right.
it's like seriously, like you could make Chinese dumplings just by wearing them on your head.
You cook bacon on your shoulders. It's amazingly brutal. And that was the first time I met you and all the guys down in down New Orleans. Tim Costin, Fayard Lindsay, Aldo, and I'm drawing a blank on Aldo's last name. But that was the first year when I met kind of everybody, and then the next year I met more and more people. And it's just been phenomenal, and it's been a pleasure knowing you all these years and watching you do your thing, and you lived through Katrina, and you got out, and then back, and now you're L.A. and Chicago, and you're moving around, you're doing all those, you're doing all the circuits. You're just like a gypsy man.
I'm running, man. Running constantly.
Just
running. So you know, by the way, I'm holding a copy of the comedy festival. Jody found it in her stuff, program.
Oh, the old program.
2001.
Yeah.
Yeah. The famous 9/11 comedy festival.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 People don't know that. I was in South Carolina visiting a friend, and by friend, I meant stripper. And I was, and I could, nobody could fly, and it was like really booked. It was like the third year, right?
Yeah.
It was like the third year of the festival, and there were acts supposed to be coming from all over the country, and I just happened to be there. And if I didn't drive, I wouldn't have never, like, a lot of people didn't make it.
A lot of people had canceled flights. They took buses. They rented cars. It was amazing the number of people that actually went the extra distance to get down there, considering that it happened literally the first night of the festival. I remember a buddy of mine, Dan Ellison. You know Dan Ellison?
I don't.
Pretty funny guy out of Virginia Beach, but old road dog. He had come in a night early, and we were out drinking. And the next morning, I just hear bang, 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 Bill, get up, man! They're bombing New York City. I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude! I'm hungover. He's like, no, serious, get down here. I went downstairs, and I'm like, oh shit! Basically, we sat there for 5 hours and just said nothing but the word fuck.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, what are we gonna do? So the phone calls started out. We're like, should we cancel the festival? I mean, this is. And then we start getting this barrage of phone calls. People like, look, I can't fly. My flight's grounded, but I'm in a car. I'm on a bus. And we were blown away. And a huge crew came in from Houston. That was Jody's first year, I think, mm-hmm. at the festival.
Yeah.
Rob Mungo and Tommy Bloodworth.
Yep, Tommy Drake. Yeah.
Tommy Drake. Matt Kirsten.
Yeah,
it was just, we went on, and half the show sold out that week. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I met so many good people and so many, you know, friendships to this day still have them. I mean, not just comedy, but I mean, I don't have in this business, you don't have a lot of friends, you know, the air quotes, you don't have a lot of friends. But the people that I met on that, you know, especially that year, are still people that I talk to on a fairly regular basis. I mean, it's just, maybe it was the, you know, the 9/11 bonding, 9/11 bonding.
Oh, yeah, that's a close call.
It could have been the 9/11 bombing. No, but yeah, all that and Tommy Drake and all the comics out of Houston. And speaking of Houston, nice little segue. Jody, you're originally from Houston, are you not?
I am actually not.
Not, but that's where I met you. No?
I'm from Oregon, but I got out of there as soon as I could. Why I chose Houston, I don't know. I lived there for, I don't know, 14 years off and on.
And just doing stand-up. Now, you moved from Oregon to Houston. Oregon, I understand getting out of. But Houston, yeah. That's a huge change from Oregon to Houston.
It's a huge change. I mean, it's the weather. It rains all the time in Houston. The weather's back there, too. My two choices weren't very good. But what are you going to do?
Better Mexican food.
Better Mexican food, yeah. Way better food.
Yes.
I started comedy in Houston. That's when I met all you assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you got sucked in, and it's over, and this, and you were, and there was a group of female comics from Houston, and you were actually one of the ones that kind of stand out. I mean, there was a whole group. I think there was seven or eight, and all of you guys, extremely funny, but you seem to stand out a little bit more. And I say that because you're on the show right now.
I'm sorry. Those are my bitches. No. I had them in line.
No, I know. No, they were all funny, but I always remember you. And then I don't know where it was or what it was. There was this really obscure thing. Like maybe it was before Facebook and all that. And then out of the blue.
Is there a BS? Is that how we started doing things?
Yeah.
Well, that
was
totally BS before Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. We used to pass notes to each other in class. That's how we used to communicate. But no.
We're still in our age, buddy. I remember when phones hung on the wall.
I remember when I had a cup and a string. I still do. I still do. It's called Verizon. It could be worse. It could be T-Mobile. Anyway, but Jody, I had found out that you had moved to LA, and that you were doing a lot of acting work.
I was doing some acting work there.
And you were booking maybe it was a bachelorette show. Am I missing it?
I think everybody's missing it. I shot like six pilots. I'm done. Yeah, no, I still do some voiceover stuff and some comedy stuff and not a lot of acting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm acting like I'm not sick right now. I hope that you can't.
This is Academy Award material.
No,
it's probably good we're not on Skype.
No, it's not a video podcast anyway. This is just audio, strictly. Yeah. I am not good enough.
I'm babbling. I'm a little dot. I'm a little, I'm all over the place.
But, no, but weren't you producing a show? Like you were producing
I was doing some casting.
That's it. That's what it is. I'm a bad host. I didn't do enough research. Bad host.
It was the best job ever, and you paid like ridiculous money for me to just go, hey, I like that one. So that's kind of my favorite job out here so far. Casting. No creativity. We take that.
Right. It's like casting. I mean, I'm actually directing involved in a slam OPT. I forget I'll bring it up on the commercial. But I'm actually got hired to be a hired. Hired. They asked me if I wanted to direct a play for their slam competition kind of thing. And I have to do cast. And I love casting. I love it. I love it because it.
There's a power.
Yes.
There's
you
a
just,
power to it.
You sit back it's and good. Go, you're not good enough for me.
Go back to the drawing board, you talented act.
Yes.
I can use you.
If you did. If you. Nice nose. Just torturing people.
Sending him home to cry in a corner in the dark. Oh. I'm worthless. You are worthless and weak.
See, but you can't actually do that. Oh, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to put this in for my listeners. If people wanted to find you, Bill, it's BillDykes.com, correct? Let me do this.
That'll get you there.
Yeah.
You can Google me. I'm now the third top result when you Google Bill Dykes. I beat out Bill Dykes' accountant from Conneaut, Pennsylvania. I knocked him out of the number three slot. Now there's a gospel guitar player who's got one and two, and I'm coming after his ass. I'm going to take it.
It's the weirdest
thing.
Do
I take yes? Make sure you put Bill Dykes, not just Dykes. Yes. I won't be the first thing to pop up.
I actually just posted them. I posted the two. People can live chat. We have a few people who are chatting. My let's see, some of the comments are, my brother has the perfect face for radio, Rimshot. My brother actually put that there, which, you know, is whatever. Let him make up for it. And I actually just, and Jody, I actually was looking for you. Is it jodyfertig.com?
That was the assuming that I had a website, like I cared about my career.
Yeah, because I did a...
I didn't carry the GoDaddy domain on that, but yeah, it used to be jodyfertig.com. Now we are doing the stand-up news.
Yes, and that brings us full circle. I actually can put this in, and the reason you two, and maybe the reason, but we have a long history, not you know, the three of us, but certainly the two of you guys have started something completely amazing, and I would love for you guys to tell my listening audience about it. I just put in the blog, and now I'm putting in the GoFundMe and the Facebook. So as you guys start to talk to people about that, I will put in the information so they can, of course, go look at this information. So tell us about Stand Up and Eat, if you would.
Well, I came up with the idea. Well, we came up with it, actually. But it was something that's been floating around my head. I realized that I've spent my whole life behind bars, and now I do comedy. So all I know how to do anymore is stand up and eat. She's still behind bars. So, you know, I do a lot of cooking. I work in a lot of restaurants. So I'm like, well, you know, I travel all over the country. I cook. And I know a bunch of comics. So why don't we combine food and funny and have a show called Stand Up and Eat, where we'll have a cooking segment, we'll have sketches, we'll have comics come over for dinner, and we'll talk about road stories and just silliness. Not to mention Jody will actually learn how to cook during the course of the show.
Or start fires. There could be a lot of action.
Yeah, she makes a mean popcorn. So there's a
sweet popcorn
button for it on the microwave.
That's right.
Yeah, we're total Oscar and Felix on the whole cooking thing.
Really?
Master disaster.
If there's stuff in the refrigerator, she gets all OCD and weird about it. Like, it's almost empty right now because we're broke ass. But she's happy. She's like, oh, the refrigerator's empty. She's doing a little dance. I'm like, yeah, that means we don't have food. I'm in panic mode.
I clean it and he cooks it.
Why?
We'll clean it again.
Yeah, and then double clean it with blue Dawn vinegar.
and this is
so yeah, we're gonna we're trying to raise money. We're gonna start out as an audio podcast and a blog and a website. We'll post recipes and comedy sketches, and then once we've raised enough money for good solid equipment, we'll start shooting webisodes and then shop it around.
Cool.
Eventually.
You guys, it's audio now, correct? Or is it up and running yet?
We have it right now. We're at the blog and getting started stage.
Yeah.
Once the logo and the website and all that, trying to consolidate. Then we're going to move into the actual podcast, which I know you love. That phrase.
podcast.
You know what I mean?
On demand podcast.
No, dude, I don't have a problem with Palmcast. I have a problem with my show being called a podcast.
Oh, no, no.
That's all.
But no.
Are you fucking kidding me? I love on demand and Netflix and shit like that because I don't want to wait for anything, and I'm so impatient.
Irregardless
of
that,
podcast is amazing.
I love this podcast. This is
great.
Yeah, we're online. We got some comics lined up. We want to come over and get a free meal and lie into a microphone. So
and we got these badass Jane Fonda. Oh, cam glasses.
Yeah.
Not very sexy, but they're pretty awesome.
You look like a cyborg who's sensitive to light.
But
they're not Google Glass. They're not, you know, that geeky, but they are. They have a little camera mounted right in the center.
I like to wear them naked while watching and listening to your podcast.
You know, if you were going to wear them and listen to my show naked, then fine. You can call it a podcast.
There you go. You have permission now. Yeah, I actually went hiking on Runyon and wore them. So you get a lot of images of the sky, the ground, and me heavy breathing.
So it's
not
like,
very sexy.
So it's like
it's
like glasses, but what is that? What's that? Those cameras they wear in the head, the sports ones.
GoPro. Yeah, kind of like a little mini GoPro.
Like a GoPro.
Tiny little camera with a little SD card and it's mounted on a pair of sunglasses that you can actually change out the lenses. Although I usually wear them without lenses, which is even sexier.
Oh, that's isn't that a whole way?
Footage, everyone's scared of you.
Isn't that a whole website where guys wear them and then talk to chicks and then have sex with them and they film the whole thing and they don't know?
It's a podcast.
It's a sex podcast.
I
don't know.
Well, I'm not producing it, so it's not. It's definitely a podcast.
If there's not one, I'm going to go Google it because we got the glasses. The sex part, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Kim Santos, who is a few weeks ago we did a fan favorite show, and she was one of the fans I picked to be on the show. She just liked your Facebook page, so she goes, "It sounds really cool." And there you go.
Right.
So that's what we try to do. We try to cross promote and have some fun. And I want to hear more about the Stand Up and Eat and how it kind of is going to evolve. Like, I know it's starting as a blog and then it's going to evolve. I'd like to talk about more of that. But what I want to do is I want to talk about that after we come back from break. What we're going to do is take a quick break now. And when we come back, we're going to play some games. And the two of you are playing, you're on a speakerphone, so you're both there. So you might be able to help. But when we come back, we're going to play a few games. And then at the very end, I want to talk more about Stand Up and Eat. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Radio Irregardless with me, Mark Scalia.
From 1981 to 1992, saxophone usage in songs were 9 out of 10. However, since 1993, modern-day songs featuring saxophones have decreased 87%. Because of this, most of today's saxophones have been abandoned, and some, homeless. At the United Saxophone Usage of America, we provide songs for saxophones. We have made substantial progress, but we need your help. For just pennies a day, you can help these instruments desperately in need. Meet Kenny. He used to be a very popular sax and even made it into concert halls in multiple countries and in dozens of songs. Falling on tough times, he performs in adult films. Thanks to your contributions, he is playing in the rendition of Grease for the Robin Kowalski Middle School. Our mission at USUA is to get saxophone usage back to what it was over two decades ago. Please give to the United Saxophone Usage of America, because we can all use a little more sax.
When you watch cable TV, sometimes there's nothing good on. And when there's nothing good on, you get bored. And when you get bored, yada, 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 yada. And Nazis come and rape your grandchildren. Don't let Nazis rape your grandchildren. Get rid of cable and upgrade to Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And with me, once again, joining me on the phone, the hotline, if you would, Bill Dykes and Jody Fertig. And they are having... they're on the West Coast, the left coast, the warm, sunny, 70 fucking degree West Coast. And together, they're both amazing comics, actors, performers. But together, they're collectively putting a thing together called Stand Up and Eat. And Bill, you were telling me it's kind of a cross between two programs. Would you tell a listening audience before we play the games? I want to get that out one more time before...
Insomnia, right? Is that the name of the hotel show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, where you travel around and, you know, see different parts of the world and talk to interesting people, and then we'll have cooking segments thrown in and restaurants and, you know, just sort of the vibe that sort of laid back, whatever can happen sort of
thing. Sprinkled with debauchery.
Sure, debauchery.
And Jody, Jody will be cooking as well, or no? She's more the...
Yeah.
We're going to try. Yeah. There might be some... We'll need an EMT. Well, luckily for us, we have a fire station EMT place right across the street. So if you hear a really, really ear-shrieking loud noise, like we do every 20 minutes or so, that'll be that.
Well, there will be no way to the faces after they taste my food.
No.
Did I actually hear it when we were on break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was loud.
I thought
there's a cat, and they've been here years.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know the connection's not incredibly good, but I heard.
Oh, you should hear it here, man. It definitely keeps you in your toes.
Hard stopping.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a suburb.
The one time that I'll start a fire. In the kitchen.
They won't be around. Yeah, they won't even be around.
You're really cool. Well, I grew up in a suburb of Boston called Chelsea, and there was a big fire in 73, 74. It took out literally 80% of the city, and it was like a 1920 alarm fire. Cities. So I'm completely used to fires. I don't care. Fire's good.
I'm supposed to go visit my mom in Alabama. She lives out in the country, like outside of Montgomery. And I'm going to actually have to record the sound of the helicopters and fire engines so I'll be able to sleep at night. It's going to be too damn quiet. It's just crickets and nothing.
Well, speaking of things that are going to keep you up at night, you guys, this is the first time to Radio Irregardless. What we do is we actually play some games with our comics and our actors and our musicians and all that, our guest stars. And with me, you're familiar with the movie Saw, the movie series Saw? About the
movie series, which one?
Saw, about the serial killer, essentially.
Oh, Saw, yeah. Yes, Saw. Who does all the creative serial killers. So.
Yeah, well, apparently Saw, you know, the movies were very successful, and Saw, Jigsaw has actually gone through all his money, and he's got nothing going on at this point. So I actually asked him if he would help me, because in school, I was a pretty decent student in school, but the thing I hated most about school was not school. It was the homework and stuff they would give us. And I was very good in math and science. And then every once in a while, somebody would stick a word problem into the math lesson. And I didn't like it. And it tortured me. So now what I did is I asked Jigsaw if he would create word problems to torture my adult friends so that I could have a little... I could live a little vicariously through him. So Jigsaw has put together five examples, and I think they're at the third grade level, maybe the second grade level. I'm not sure. And then they get progressively worse. And I will tell you that people have not made it to example five. Our last guest had a heart attack immediately. Just the heart was racing. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let Jigsaw play the games. And essentially, all you got to do, and we can have this, we can start our little competition. You guys can work together as a team, or you can work very much separately. Each correct answer is worth 1 point. And you guys can actually hear and see each other, so you can kind of work out the math on it is on your own.
Do we need a pen and paper for this, or is this...
No, some of them, I don't know. Well, it's Jigsaw. You never know. I mean, he's...
Yeah, that's true.
He's a little tricky. So, Jody, Bill, good luck.
Thanks.
Marky.
Hello. I want to play a game. This is a word game. And you're going to play whether you want to or not.
He's very intense. I'm sorry.
Hard to hear.
The choice is yours. Example one. Anna has 5 candles. She gets 86 more from Larry. How many candles does Anna have?
Anna has 5 candles. She gets 86 from Larry. How many does she have?
Okay, wait. You hear that? We can barely hear that. Say that again.
He doesn't stop. He just keeps going.
Oh, no. Yeah, we can't. It doesn't. You can't hear it through the speaker, brother. Sorry.
How many crayons are in the box?
There are 4 crayons in the box.
Right.
And Harold puts 15 more crayons inside. Ah, we're up to 3 now.
Jeremy,
I'm telling you, he's intense.
Yeah, we can't hear that, buddy. I'm sorry. We ruined your game because we have a crappy speaker.
Does Jeremy have?
All right, hold on. Let me slow him down.
Sorry.
No, he's in something.
But Jigsaw sounds very scary.
He says. If you could have heard it through this Jabra headphone thing.
Jabra.
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll do you the first one, and then I'll kind of back up a little. Here we go. Because he doesn't like to mess around. He's okay. He's very serious.
You might have to read it back to us.
So. Okay, I'm going to read it back to you. Anna has 5 candles. She gets 86 more from Larry. How many candles does she have? You have 5 seconds.
She has 86, and 5 is 91.
91 is correct answer. There we go. All right, here's this example, too. Let's see if he's up to me. Let's see.
Choice is yours.
Okay. Yes. Okay, there's the first one already.
Example 1.
Okay, example 1.
Anna,
you already got this
5
one.
Candles.
5 candles.
She gets 86 more from Larry.
She gets 86 more from Larry.
How many candles does Anna have?
She has 91 candles, Jigsaw.
Boom.
Okay, boom, goes the dynamite.
Example 2.
Okay, example 2.
If there are 4 crayons in a box.
If there are 4 crayons in a box.
Puts 15 more crayons inside.
And Harold puts 15 more crayons in a box.
Are in the box.
How many crayons are in the box?
50, like 5-0?
15, yes.
Example 3.
What's your
5-0. 5-0.
No, 15. There are 4 crayons in a box. And Harold puts 15 more crayons inside. How many crayons are in the box?
19.
19, that is correct. There we go.
He collects 75 tickets.
Okay.
His father.
He's just insane. Okay, example 3.
Example 3.
Okay, here we go.
Jeremy collects 75 tickets.
Jeremy collects 75 tickets.
Gives him 6 more.
His father gives him 6 more.
Tickets does Jeremy have?
How many tickets does Jeremy have?
75 is
6, 81. 81 is correct.
Martha has 2 peanuts.
Martha has 2
Joyce
peanuts.
Has 26
Joyce
peanuts.
Has 26 peanuts.
If Joyce gives all her peanuts to Martha.
If Joyce gives all her peanuts to Martha,
Martha,
how many peanuts will Martha have?
They're 26 and 3?
2.
Example 5.
2. Oh,
26
and 2 is 28.
28, correct, yes. All right, now this one I can't help you with because it's the last one. I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Example 5.
Example 5.
Dorothy and Jessica are going to Betty's house.
Dorothy and Jessica are going to Betty's house. Dorothy and Jessica are going to Betty's house.
Jogged 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Dorothy jogged 3 hours and 15 minutes.
At 8 kilometers per hour.
At 8 kilometers per hour.
Jessica drove for 30 minutes.
Jessica drove for 30 minutes at 52 kilometers per hour.
How far did Dorothy and Jessica travel?
How far did Dorothy and Jessica travel to Betty's house?
They had it started, so they got there immediately.
You gotta do the math.
Oh my god, I'm gonna die.
He's going to kill us all.
Okay. Yeah. 3.5 hours at 84 kilometers an hour?
No.
Alright. We need the numbers again.
We didn't make it. We didn't make it.
Sorry, Mark. We tried.
Somebody's gonna die.
You know what? I blame it on the speaker and not my math skills.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I blame it on the speaker and his math skills.
Okay.
Oh, you.
All right, let's see. My listeners have said, fuck you, SAT math problems.
Fuck you, SAT math problems?
Yes.
I've been great on the verbal part. I screwed the pooch on the math.
Well, here it is. Dorothy and Jessica are going to Betty's house. Dorothy jogged 3 hours and 15 minutes at 8 kilometers per hour. Jessica drove 30 minutes at 52 kilometers per hour. How far did Dorothy and Jessica travel to Betty's house?
Okay.
he always fucks you on the last one. That's what he does.
He's... 26. She did 26, the second girl, kilometers. So that's half, right? 30 minutes at 52.
Yeah.
And then the first one was what? Say it again. I can do it fast.
8 kilometers per hour. And she took 3 hours and 15 minutes to jog.
It's 20, is it 24 and 3.5?
Three
kilometers?
No.
No, wait. How many kilometers?
8 kilometers per hour.
8 kilometers per hour. And how many hours?
3 hours and 15 minutes.
3 hours and 15 minutes. Okay, yes. So 8:24. And then
we're all dead. It doesn't matter.
We're dead. I was close. Like 30.
No, it's a trick question. They both traveled 26 kilometers. It's a trick question. That's how we get you.
I think Betty's just a lazy fuck, and everybody makes her come to her house.
I know. But here's my question about all these things. First of all, Anna has candles. What is she doing playing with all these fucking candles? Harold's got 4 crayons in a box, and he puts 15 in. Why is he holding out 15 fucking crayons? Jeremy's collecting tickets, and his father only gave him 6. His father's a cheap bastard on that one.
Father's total cheap bastard.
Example 4, Martha has 2 peanuts, and Joyce has 26. First of all, you can't bring fucking peanuts into a fucking school. That's just crazy. And then the third one is, yeah, you're completely right. If Dorothy and Jessica go into Betty's house, I don't know if they live together or if this is a weird thing, but they both travel the exact same thing. I'm assuming they're roommates. And you're right, Betty's a lazy bitch. She should just fucking, the two of them have
to. Yeah, why didn't she go to their house? She made both of them travel. We don't know Betty's life, man. We don't know about her. Maybe she's just scaredy outside. Maybe she's trying to recreate the Sting music video with all those candles.
She's afraid.
Hello. or she's had all those candles because they're going to do some kinky stuff with melted wax.
Yeah, maybe she's trying to kill both Betty, Jessica, and Dorothy. You don't know. It could happen.
Oh my God, she's Jigsaw.
She could be Jigsaw. So now, since that game went horribly backwards, no points are scored to that one. Here's what I will do. We're going to play It Sounds Like Sax to Me. You might have heard in the promo the United Saxophone. I don't even know the promo. I just lost the promo.
My God.
The United Saxophone Usage of America, where saxophones are underutilized and they're starving and we have to give them some help. So every time I play a saxophone solo, I get a quarter. And this is a game where the songs of the past, like, 20, 30 years, all featured saxophone. You guys remember the 80s and early 90s. Every song had a saxophone in it. Every single song. And as a result, we don't hear too many saxophone solos. It's an underutilized instrument. So as a result, I'm going to play you, and we're going to go back and forth because we have 10, I think 10. Yes, we have 10 songs. And I know you're dealing with some a weird speaker, but I will play it and then I will play it again. And since it's music, it may go a lot easier than the spoken word. So because Bill attempted to cannibalize the entire word problem and Jody's a little under the weather, we're going to give Jody a little bit of a head start. So we are going to play It Sounds Like Sax to Me. Yeah. Let's play. There we go. That is a saxophone. And for bonus points, who sang that song, and what is the name of that song? Either one of you?
Yeah. Herb Alpert?
Nope.
I don't know. I know Herb Alpert did a cover of it, but...
It's of course, it's Tequila. Everybody knows it's Tequila.
Yeah.
It's a song by The Champs.
Oh, the Champs!
The Champs!
I have all their album.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't know. I have all their album. Yes, we all have all their album.
I have all their songs.
Yes, I watched their video. Video. There we go. So,
right.
So that's pretty much how it is. I play the song and then you guess. So, Jody, this one's going to be for you. This clip is about 20 seconds. Now, here's how it works. I play the clip. You can either guess right away or you can say, play it one more time for me and I will play it again. After the second play, you have 5 seconds to give me an answer. If you do give me an answer and it's wrong, you will hear a certain noise, something like this.
Okay, moving on.
That would be the incorrect one. And if you get it right, you'll hear this.
You know this game sucks, man.
You would hear that. And you probably can't hear either one of them because it's out of a distorted speaker that you're listening to at home. So,
I'm going to take a picture of it to show you what.
But my listeners, my listeners hear completely clear, so it's working out all the way around. And the listener is actually playing as well, but there is a 10-second delay. So after I play it once and then again, and they give you a 5-second decision to make to give me an answer, by that point the listeners will probably have some type of answer. So if you give me an incorrect answer, your opponent gets a chance to steal, and they only get one guess. And at the end, we tally up all the points and see who's won. Everybody get it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Jody, this is you. 22nd spot. Any guesses?
Is that a Popeyes commercial?
Popeyes? We barely have Popeyes here, so no. It's all right. I'll play it again, but you're close. I will give you that. You're kind of close. All right, Jody, 5-second guess.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing. No idea.
It's a TV show.
It's Bill?
Right?
No.
No.
It's not a TV show.
Not a TV show.
Oh, all the listeners got it. Every single listener got it.
I'm going to put on those stupid cyborg glasses and take how awful the speaker is. Like, you know that we're not just complete and utter fucking idiots.
You know what might work? Do you know what might work?
It sounds like a monkey is clanging two giant, that's it.
All right. Do you know what might work?
I'm going with Popeye's commercial.
No, but I'll tell you in a second. You know what might work? If you actually take it off the Jabbar earpiece and just hand the phone to each other. Maybe you guys have the cup with the string. Is that what's happening?
I will. Yeah, we do. We have two metal cans connected.
Did say that we were doing the GoFundMe website to raise money for equipment.
You're right.
This is actually made out of Legos and an aluminum foil.
This is Billy Joel, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
That's it. So, okay, moving on. No point scored. No point. And all my listeners got that right, I believe. Let's see. Did everybody get? I can only see three things so far. Let's see. Who else said yes? Let's see. Chat. There we go. Bazinga. Yes. Everybody got it.
All right. Keep rubbing that in.
All right. All right, this one's a little older. You might be able to get this. Here, Bill, this one, this is a shot for you. And it keeps going. Any guesses? I'm not going to play it again.
It's gonna, no, God, no, please. And I know the song. It's from the 70s. But like,
it is. It is.
Completely fried.
It's totally. And Jody?
Jody's just sat back. She just looked at me like,
just forget it.
It's all you, buddy.
Here it comes. Ready?
Baker Street.
Yeah.
Although the Foo Fighters did a remake that was pretty good.
Did they? Okay, moving on. There we go. That's two for two. That's
two for so bad.
All right, this one's
we just lost funding. People are pulling the money out of our shit.
We just got
you don't even know. And I worked in a live music club for 13 years. You would think I'd be a lot better at this. I'm still blaming it on the speaker.
We got sick on life.
That's, well, we'll do some fundraising for you.
Help these fucking idiots learn music.
Jody, you'll get this one. Club. All right, this one's for Jody. You'll get this one. You've got to get this one. Come on, Jody. I gave it to you.
I'm too busy dancing.
I gave it to you.
Play it one more time.
It's from a movie.
It's from a movie?
It's from a movie. It's from a movie. Tom Cruise, Bill, Tom Cruise slid across a floor in his underwear.
Risky Business, yeah.
Yeah, and the name of the song is...
Old-timey rock and roll.
Oh, my God,
You are.
He was wearing a shirt. He played across the floor.
You guys are god awful. You're god awful at this. You're terrible. I told you.
You didn't say there was going to be fucking math.
I didn't know.
And I still on the first four math problems.
I want to go back to the crayon.
They were like, "We're in the West Coast. We're three hours behind you, and all we want to do is get funding for our show. And you fuck us with these games, man."
Make us look like idiots in front of your podcast listeners. I can't do that into the game because I'm so upset.
All right,
no, I guarantee you, if this didn't sound like a complete ass, I'd probably be nailing all these.
Okay,
I'm going to continue to play it on the speaker.
Okay, you know something? If you want to just put it on, you just see if you can just listen to it on just regular headset or your regular thing. Because
I'm worried that I'll hang up on you.
I'll call you. It won't be the first time.
Hey. It might happen anyway if we keep playing this game and losing.
All right. We're only on the third one. Here's the fourth one. This one's kind of old, too. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the two of you play against my listeners. Let's have that. Let's try that one. This one's a little tricky. I'm jamming right now. I'm jamming shit. All right, any ideas?
Not a clue. Not a clue.
Not a clue.
Unless we take it off this Bluetooth thing and try to listen to it through the phone, this is awful.
Carrot and Tonto? Is that the thing?
I can't even hear you at this point. What would you say?
Oh, my God.
It was...
What's that?
It was Al Stewart.
Oh.
Here it comes. One morning comes and you're still with her. And the bus and the tourists are gone.
Yeah. And you've thrown away your choice. Lost your ticket.
It's a year of the cat.
Year of the cat.
Ready? But the drum beats strains. Just keeps going. Let's just get to the end. But for now you're gonna stay. Here we go. In the year of the cat.
Oh, God.
Yep, you're the cat. This is like the 70s.
I feel like I need a black light coaster.
This is the 70s show, actually.
It's totally 70s. You're killing me.
Oh, speaking of 70s, here you go. Come on, get one. Nothing? Come on, you got this one.
Lou Reed, Wild Side. Then I
guess there you go. We got one. Valium would have helped that fascist. Said, hey, babe.
Come on. Take a walk on the
wild side. Yeah. Bill got one.
You know this game sucks, man.
There we go. Even through the bad speaker, you got one. All right. Now, I guarantee you, nobody, including my listeners, will not get this one. Marky Mark. What is my brother putting? My brother wrote Marky Mark, so he's playing worse, and he's got good speakers. So... Oh, he went Marky Mark because they did the whole, oh, yeah, the Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch did the Walk on the Wild Side thing. All right. This one's going to be impossible, and I purposely stuck it in here. This is from, I think, 84. See if you get this one. From a TV show.
Oh my god.
It's from a TV show. From an 84 TV show. I'll give you the singer of it. Al Jarreau sang it.
84.
Yeah, I think maybe it's 83. It could be 82, 83, or 84.
Al Jarreau.
Oh my god. Two of my listeners got it. Here we go.
Moonlighting.
It's from Moonlighting.
You know, this game sucks, man.
I should have known that. You know why? Because I actually quit a job as a pizza delivery guy in college because they scheduled me on Moonlighting night.
No.
Remember, we all wanted to be Bruce Willis. We all wanted to have the snappy comebacks and be slightly misogynistic. You know, that was kind of the 80s thing. We watched that thing religiously. I should have totally known that.
And John McClane, that's what it is. So is Jody's like so sick. She's like, she's killing it. What is this? I have a sudden craving for shoulder pads and teal clothes, my wife wrote.
Yeah, big hair.
Oh, there was Bruce Willis.
Cavaricci's a skinny tie.
Bruce Willis, but who is the woman in the show?
Sybil Shepherd.
It was Sybil Shepherd, yes, and you beat my listeners for that. Good, good, because with the delay.
By the way, Sybil Shepherd was sexy in what movie with William Hurt?
What was it? Not Jagged Edge. You're thinking of Glenn Close.
Earlier than that.
Body
Double?
What, Body Double? Oh, it was Body Double.
There you go.
Oh, I should have played that. Well, if I played the movie game, you might have got that. But the movie game, the sound bites are even harder to hear. I figured music might be easier. If you didn't hear Jigsaw. Here we go.
We're trying. We'll be a trooper.
No, not bad. You got it. It's doing all right. How about this one?
That's the boss.
Quick.
It's
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen. The song.
Not Born to Run.
It's Born to Run.
He got one. Play it, Bruce.
Got it.
There you go. Born to run.
Awesome.
There you go. Say, Bill, you got it.
You know, this game sucks, man.
Killing it out. There you go. Faster than my listeners. I got to say,
Bruce Springsteen at Jazz Fest a couple of years ago was probably one of the best shows I have ever seen at the Fairgrounds. That dude was fantastic.
People say, like, I've never been a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, but people say his shows are spectacular.
He's the energy that comes off that guy on stage and the fact that he powers through. I mean, it's not like he just stands there and plays. He moves, he interacts with the audience.
And it's just a barrage, a wall of sound, man. And I get so, I've always liked him, but I was like blown away at how fantastic a show he put on. That's just a sign.
Well, funny. He was in Fenway and he crushed it, apparently. Like, he destroyed the whole.
He's like the Dave Chappelle of music, right?
Yeah, killing it. Oh,
marathon shows.
Here we go. Now, Bill, you're on a roll. Let's see what you got. Famous sax. Just get to the chorus quick. Yeah, and who? What's the song? What's the song?
Young Americans.
It's Young Americans.
Oh.
It is. Get to it. There we go. Well, you're up to two. No, actually, technically three.
Technically three.
And you'll get this one really quick. I know you will. Is Jody down for the count? And Jody's like, I can't take this fucking speaker.
She just sat back. She's like, I'm going to close my eyes for a little while.
Yeah, let her close her eyes, because when we come back from, I want to hear more about the show. So we'll get back to that. I got to torture you a little bit. I got to torture. I got to torture you. Here we go. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, I got money on this one.
You got money on this
Pink
one?
Floyd. Money.
It is Pink Floyd. Money. It is Pink Floyd, and it is money.
You know this game sucks, man.
It's killing it. Okay, there's one left. There's one left. All right, the moment of truth. The moment of truth. Here we go. And you beat all my listeners for that. You beat them all. Here we go. It's a tough one. Any guesses?
I have no idea. I'm sorry. I'm under 500 on that.
Let's see. My listeners don't have anything yet. I'll play it again. All right, I'll put you out of your misery.
Okay.
Nothing?
Nothing. All right, hey.
Here it comes. Waiting on a friend.
Rolling Stone.
It was waiting on a friend.
You know this game sucks, man.
But unfortunately, you were too late.
Okay, moving on.
So they...
All right, 4 out of 10. So, right, I'm embarrassed.
No, we'll tabulate all the scores. And when we come back for break, I'm going to see if the scores really mattered. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you forgot, you are listening to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. We are going to be right back.
Love food and wine? Get to know Salem, Mass in a fun and delicious way. Join me on a Salem food tour. Our 5-star rated walking tour gives guests the perfect opportunity to enjoy an afternoon with friends or coworkers. Great for locals and visitors, our tours book in advance and can be crafted for your special event. For more information on our tours and to make reservations, please visit us at salemfoodtours.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Chris Penny. And irregardless of what I'm doing, I am probably listening to Mark Scalia's Irregardless Radio on the radio, irregardless that it's not on the radio because it's on the interradio, irregardless of that shit.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I have actually tabulated all the scores, and just like the first round, they don't fucking matter. So we had fun playing. And actually, I did add up all the scores, and they come add up to enough pocket change to buy a set of headphones. So, which is, we're on our way. If we had a timpani right now, Ed McMahon and Jerry Lewis would be going, let's see it. And we'd have enough money for a Jabra Bluetooth headset.
Hands-free headset. I'll pack this thing up and send it to you.
We'll see what we got. And ladies and gentlemen, that was just sounds like Sax to me and the Jigsaw word game. And joining me once again on the phone line is Bill Dykes and Jody Furdig. And these two amazing comic performers have joined forces to create a new blog, a new media form called Stand Up and Eat, where they combine food and bars and restaurants and comedy and fun. And I'm gonna let them tell you a little bit more about it, because I know they're trying to fundraise, they're trying to get some money for some equipment, obviously.
So you would think this is off stage, like we're pretending we're actually talking on a two-way 3D holograph projector. We're trying to make it sound like we're poor.
We're gonna start with a blog because I have a tablet and it works. But as far as sound, so let me the whole. How did you get? I want to actually back up a little bit, because I know we all know each other from various comedy clubs in Houston, New Orleans, and L.A. But Bill, how did you decide to move to L.A. for this, or you decided to move there, or Jody was already there and she had something in the inception or something like that? Tell us about the evolution of it.
I have family out here, and I've visited a few times, and I felt like I needed a change. I love New Orleans, but I have to leave, you know, every couple of years to remind me why I love that city, so I can start missing it. And I came up to L.A. to help a friend move out, and I was hanging out with my friend Talisha, who's from New Orleans, and hung out with Jody. And when I went home, I was like, you know what? I'm at a point in my career now where I have to try it. I have to give it a shot. You know, we all... It's New York or L.A. in this business.
Yep.
And I picked L.A. And then while we were here, we've done a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I've been trying to audition and doing shows and showcases. But one night, we've been hanging out with this group called Adventure People, which, by the way, look them up on Facebook and online. Adventure People is fantastic. It's run by this really cool woman, Stacy Pokey. And Pokey. And
from Houston,
actually. And we do like zip lining or jet packing. I mean, all sorts of really cool outdoor activities. And one night after grape stomping, we were up in some winery outside of Santa Barbara.
Kalira
Winery. We were just sitting around drinking wine, and
we were hammered.
And just started throwing. I think I brought up the idea of how, you know, I've worked in a million kitchens, and you know, I'm constantly cooking, and I made a dinner that night. I'd done a whole stuffed fish with paella and steamed it over coals, and just we started brainstorming on it, and you know, started putting pedal to the metal, and get serious.
Pedal to the metal?
Yeah.
That's what we did.
We put the pedal to the metal. Yeah. We were trashed. I'm surprised we remembered anything about the show.
You put the speaker to the wall.
That's because the next day was still in the blend with like five people. We got the story back together.
Right.
We were stuffing keys apart.
Yeah.
You combined all the bits and pieces and then reassembled the story.
Yeah, we had Jigsaw help us. It was a word problem. It was a word problem.
You will remember. Stand up and eat.
Why don't you just stand up and eat?
But yeah, I just, you know,
and then a saxophone playing in the background.
Right.
What, great.
Go get the candles and the crayons. We got some madness to do.
So yeah, it's my two favorite things: food and being funny. And I can't see how it's not a winning combination.
So
you know?
As far as the show, is the show going to be based out of L.A. or is it going to be one of these things that you actually slap a camcorder to your head and you start traveling, and or as you're traveling,
oh, yeah,
you do this thing, or is you're going to travel specifically for the show, or?
For now, I'm going to travel as I tour and tape as much as I can. When I go back to Texas and Louisiana next month, hopefully we'll have enough camera equipment and sound equipment that I can tape, because I know a lot of chefs and a lot of comics down in the region, so it's perfect. Like Caroline Picard is in Galveston. You know, I can go down there with a camera and a microphone and, you know, she and I...
Turn tables.
Turn tables in a... And we can
talk
about, you know, because that was the blog I just posted about how Caroline and I survived on the road cooking in hotel rooms and stuff. And she's a great cook herself. And, you know, there are a lot of chefs in New Orleans who are willing to come out and tape. And I've got a friend of mine, Todd Grove, who runs this gigantic, beautiful B&B. Not even a B&B. It's just a house you can rent, a vacation home, that has a center island in the kitchen that's more like a continent. It's got six burners and it's huge. I mean, and the whole place opens up into the living room, out to the back to the pool area.
Wow.
And we've got a film here. I mean,
a three camera shoot.
Yeah, you're going to need it. It's huge. And and what I envision eventually is segments. There'll be a cooking segment where either I'm doing it or I'll have somebody else on with me. And we'll do a lot of them here. But then there'll be some from the road. Plus, you know, we'll meet at restaurants and sit down and talk and actually review the food and talk about comedy. And
eventually international.
Yeah, you know, travel with it. And I do see us actually having comedy clips. And, you know, if we have a comic on, we're going to actually highlight their performance or stand-up. So we'll have to come to Boston, obviously, right?
Obviously. Well, Obviously.
You got a good kitchen?
Actually, my house is relatively small, but here's the thing. I don't know if you actually caught the promo. My wife, about a year and a half started, my wife's one of these people that comes up with all these amazing ideas and then doesn't tell anybody. And then like 15 minutes before actually something happens, she goes, you know, I think of this, I have this great idea. And then as soon as she comes out of her mouth, somebody does it. And about a year and a half or so ago, she decided she wanted to do food tours, because she's always been kind of a foodie, and she's done a lot of corporate events and you know, things like that, and she worked for American Express and blah 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 and event planning, and she wanted to do food tours. So about a year and a half ago, she started Salem Food Tours, which it's an historic food walking tour where you learn the history of Salem through its food. And you know, instead of, oh, it's Salem, Mass, they hung witches, ha, ha. She does much more than that. So she's actually been doing a lot of the food stuff. So she's a huge foodie. And I eat to live. I don't care if it tastes good or anything. And she's got me totally into the whole thing. And she's like, oh, she goes, and I sent her the clip. I go, yeah, Bill and Jody are doing this thing. She goes, oh my God, I had that idea like 15 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, but you have like 100 ideas. And the closest we've come to that is I have like 3 or 4 jokes about her cooking. And we do cross promotion, and she's a sponsor for the show, but she doesn't pay me at all.
Right.
But I live with her, and I want to be able to sleep through the night without waking up and going, why is there a knife to my throat?
So, right.
But yeah, she's...
Well, she could say, hey, try this dish. You'll love this one. You know?
So she's the cook, and I mean, the only thing I cook is every once in a while I cook like my dad, where I'll just sit at the stove and just spend all day cooking sauce, because it's the way that I learned how to cook. But she's
right.
she's like MacGyver in the kitchen. So our kitchen is small, but you'd only need a one camera shoot. And based on the quality of the stuff you have now, I think a one camera iGo camera would work out fine.
What I see like with our show is, if say we came out there, we could do a cooking segment, obviously.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
We would definitely have to go on a tour. and cut up and actually do the tour and see some of the food places and integrate that into a segment, because that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, that when you go somewhere, you can tie the food and the funny together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, as far as Salem goes, like her tour, she goes, she walks people around, and I think there's like either two or three locations you can actually go in. Like one of them is like a full open kitchen. You can watch everybody cook. It's, and then another one, you actually walk into the chef, because her groups are only like 10 to 12 people. She won't do more than that. And you walk into the kitchen and you watch the chef make your food and you sample, and you have all these samples during the tour. But certainly like that. Yeah. If you ever make it out here, we'd hook you up. We do that.
Yeah, no, that's,
need the footage.
Absolutely, the kind of things I want to do.
Yeah, we'd love to have that happen.
And I mean, one of the best meals I ever had was with a comedian. Actually, Tom Rhodes was in New Orleans, and he and I took him to Emeralds, and because I knew all the staff at Emeralds.
Yeah,
we got sat at the chef's bar, where you look into the kitchen as they cook.
Oh my god!
And I knew all the cooks because I was their bartender across the street. So they just each made a dish that they were proud of, and said, we didn't get a menu.
Yeah.
Just wine and food started showing up. It was 2.5 hours of just, okay, this is a halibut poached in a miso broth. Da, da, da. Okay, this is lamb ribs with a, well, it just kept going. The dessert thing you could have ridden on. It looked like a roller coaster of sweets.
Oy.
And it just went on forever. And he was like, this, you know, this guy traveled the world. And he's like, this is probably one of the best dining experiences I've ever had. And we drank wine and cut up. And that's the kind of thing I think people would enjoy, too, is just seeing a couple funny asses sitting around eating good food, talking about that. And funny.
Well, food is the new reality show. I don't know if you know this. food is like the new fucking reality thing. I mean, it's, I mean, they have a food network, man. A whole fucking network.
I know. They have two. They have the cooking channel, too.
Oh, my God.
Which is actually better because it gets more. I think they're owned by the same company, but.
Yeah. Well, Bourdain has got The Taste, you know, which is, you know, the parody of The Voice kind of thing. But, yeah, it's like you forget. Like, people just eat. Like, I just eat to live, and I don't care. But it's like, maybe it's like, I swear, ever since the movie Ratatouille came out, everybody started caring about how food was made.
I think it was a little bit, but I like the way you think.
Ratatouille is the one that pushed it right open.
Yeah, it was definitely a cartoon rat made everybody. So, I mean, I remember when I first moved to New Orleans out of college, and this was way back in the rocking 80s when I couldn't get the moonlighting theme right. this is before, I mean, I was staying with my mom in her place, and there was no cable, and I didn't have a job. So I spent most of my days.
So it's kind of like now.
Exactly like now.
But you weren't across from a fire. You weren't across from a fire station and had better sound.
Right. We have Netflix. We do. We have hipster cable. We have Hulu Plus and Netflix. So I don't think any of the passwords are ours.
We'll go with the landline next time.
Right. And by the way, if anybody has a HBO Go password they want to trade for Hulu Plus, I'm down. Seriously, we'll send you a spice jar. But no, I sat and watched cooking shows all day. But it was the old school cooking shows where they had like no charisma. It was just these, you know, frumpy old people. But they were amazing chefs, you know, and especially in Louisiana, you had all the John Foltz and what's his face, the Cajun dude who was just annoying as hell but made great food. And I would watch all day, like 3 hours of cooking shows. And then when I started working in restaurants and I started doing stuff online and got into cooking, and now I love it. To me, I wouldn't want to do it as a living per se. I wouldn't want to work in a, because I have nothing but mad respect for people who stand in a hot kitchen all day slinging out plates with food, because that is not an easy job.
Yeah,
and I think I would lose the love for it having to do it. But cooking to me is sort of like a meditation, like a Zen sort of thing. I taste, I cut, I chop, create, and I can think about other things, you know, as I do that. So it's sort of, it's almost, I don't know.
See, I eat as I go. So, I mean, I can cook for other people.
Well, you and Joey are the same.
Yeah. Like, I will eat as I go, and then by the time the food is ready, I'm like, no, you eat. I can't eat.
Right.
And my brother actually works at a restaurant. He works at a Tex-Mex place called On the Border, and he's been he's been working as a server and manager for, oh my God, I want to say 20 years, but it's probably more than that. But it's, you know, it's so, people take it for granted. We have to eat, and the little bits of enjoyment that you could do, especially when, you know, you stand up and, you know, when we went with, in New Orleans with, Rondell Sheridan, when Will Durst couldn't make it, we were supposed to have dinner with Durst, and it turned into supper with Sheridan at the House of Blues.
It was
at the House of Blues.
Yeah,
it
was there.
And I looked at you, and I remember this, and I said, I don't know, man, it's $90. That's a lot of money for food. Is it worth it? And you went, yes, it is. And I spent the money, and I had the best time. The food was amazing. The wine was amazing. Between Rondell Sheridan and then going to the improv show at the Chat Noir afterwards, it was just fun. And if I'll be honest with you, if your show is like a third or a half or a quarter of what that was, people are just going to be blown away by it.
It's the perfect combination, man. It's my two favorite things in the world too: good food and, you know, good friends laughing, being happy. So they, you know, there's so much tedium and boredom and day to day stuff that, you know, every once in a while you just gotta sit down at a table and have a long dinner with a lot of people and just let it flow. Just don't shovel it in your mouth and get up and run.
Yeah,
you got somewhere to be. You know,
well,
enjoy it.
Even regular civilians, you know, not entertainment people, but regular civvies, you sit down and people just laugh and joke, especially around a meal. I mean, I'm used to family meals where it turns into "shut up, fucking what the fuck," you know. And of course, my brother and sister are listening, so they can truly appreciate it. But you know, my father would push away from the table. "Fuck this! I've had enough of you, fuckers." But it sounds like I wish you guys all the best. And before we go, there's something I want to do, which I do with all my guests. I do, and especially with comics, one of the best. As I do best gig, worst gig stories. And we always tell the best gig first because the worst gig is far better story. So if you guys want, before you go, and I'll do one last promo for the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, the emails, things like that. Please, if you would, describe your best gigs and your worst gigs. And it could be not your the best. It could be one of the best or one of the worst.
Okay, I'll start. One of the best, if not the best, I think, was performing in Iraq. I was in, I think it was Al-Assad base. I can't remember which base. I would have to look it up. In this huge theater, packed to the a couple hundred soldiers, all just eager. I mean, just all, you can feel them leaning forward in their seat and laughing at it. Everything, even the stuff that I knew was just not working in my head. They were just eating it up. And after the show, the three of us went out front and we signed autographs for pictures. And these soldiers were giving us gifts, were hugging us, taking pictures. It was really like, I still, you know, when I get down, I think of that one actually, because it was pretty life changing.
And it's weird to think that, you know, you're just over there just telling jokes and they're over there fucking trying to save everybody and freedom.
And they're kids, man.
Yeah.
I think the thing that blew me away most was like, I'm like, you haven't even started shaving yet and you're carrying an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it was just, they're just so happy to have something that's not, you know, the tedium and boredom of
that's not covered in sand.
Right. And I did three of those tours, man. And if somebody asked me to go back, I wouldn't a heartbeat, you know, to perform overseas, because it's just, it's such a good feeling to bring them something, a piece of home, you know, when they're so far away. That would be the best.
Jody, do you have a best story, or is she asleep?
Do you have a best story?
I just have worse stories.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Which is least worse?
Which did, here's one of my worst. I was interviewing these two comics on the West Coast, and they had a speaker. It was
the worst show I ever had.
No, Jody, what's one of your worst gigs?
The worst. I'll do both very quick. One was when I was opening for Doug Stanhope, and I had worked with him so many times that they called my name. He ran up on stage and did every fucking punchline that I had, and then giggled and ran back off. So I had nothing to say.
Wait a minute. He cock blocked your act?
He cock blocked my act so bad. I wanted to fall into a dumpster. And then another one, I worked with Dave Chappelle in Miami at the Miami Improv. And this was before Chappelle got huge. So this is a huge black crowd. They didn't like him because he was so cerebral, right?
Yeah.
They wanted Def Jam, which I'm sure they're all like totally kicking themselves in the ass now. So they hated him. And of course, I was opening for him. So, whitest chick in America. And there was a chick down front, and she threw a chicken wing at me. And I chicken wing back, and then the whole table took all their food. And so I had to finish my set with wing sauce on my forehead and chicken bones at my feet.
That beats every worst story I've ever had.
I'm not even going to try. I have a million hell gig stories, but I don't even want to come close to that one.
I've never had food thrown at me.
Food.
I've had a beer thrown at me. I've had several beers. But I've never had food thrown at me. Just beer.
Oh, yeah. No, I've totally had.
Well, because I made fun of her nails. She had those long nails that, like, curled around, and I was like, well, you have written on that yet. Fucking Declaration of Independence. Curled that chicken wing at me. Fork.
Good. Where'd you get hit?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you get hit in the head? Or in the face? Or the clothes? What happened?
Where'd you get hit?
Oh, no, it hit me on the face, but I wish that I had, like, my bartending hat where I would have just grabbed it and thrown it back at her, or just grabbed it and taken a big old chunk of it, like, take that. I was hungry. Anyway.
It'd be like the scene in Big Trouble in Little China when Mao Gu, I forget his name, he throws a knife and he goes, nice knife, and he throws the knife back at Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell catches the knife and throws it back and ends up in his head.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect.
Jeez. Bill, can you top that chicken wing story?
No, I think the worst gig I ever had that I can remember right now, not worst gig I ever had, it was just bad. It's a heckler story, obviously.
Yeah.
I was in Arkansas at an Electric Cowboy. There you go. That sounds like a comedy story right there.
Stop bragging. Stop your bragging.
Yeah, I was on a roll. The host was a radio guy. He was up there all drunk with some drunk chick, and they were telling really bad racist jokes. And then he goes, okay, here's your comic, Bill Dykes. And he walked off stage and left her up there.
Oh, God.
And she's like, I go to grab the microphone, and she pulls the stand away. And I go to grab it again, and she pulls away. So finally, I pull the mic off the stand, and I'm like, sweetheart, that's not a pole. You're not at work. You can go sit down now. Which I thought was hilarious. The audience hated me, because obviously she was one of them. And then she sat down in the front row and just started talking and calling me names. But nobody was really shutting her up, and I tried to be good with her. I bought her a shot, and I go, here, she did the shot. And then I made the mistake of saying, okay, now that you've had your shut the fuck up juice, let's try to get the show started, which set her off again. And then a guy sat down next to her. I should have bought her some chicken wings. Then some dude sits down next to her. Because we were both at a chicken wing story. Anyway, guy sits down with her, puts his hand on her shoulder. I said, dude, is that your girlfriend? He's like, yeah. I go, wow, hey, kudos to you, man, because if I were dating her, I'd wake up every morning with a toothbrush in one hand and a gun in the other, trying to figure out which one was going to go in my mouth that day. And then she bum-rushed the stage.
Oh, shit.
Security pulled her out, and she got arrested.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, I still have 15 minutes of set time left to do. And I have no control over the audience at that point.
Oh, my God.
And everything else. See what happens when you fuck with me? You go to jail. And that didn't even get a laugh.
Nothing. I was at Nick's Comedy Stop in Boston. This is going back probably a good 20 years ago. And Joe Rogan, who was from Boston for a long time, not originally, but he spent a lot of time in Boston, especially early in his career. He's on stage and he's doing a joke. It was a thin night. I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. It's like, I don't know, 30, 40 people in the club. And Joe Rogan, not a tall guy. He's standing on stage, and Nick's stage is about 3 feet high. So the audience is almost in like a pit. So literally you're about, you know, 7-8 foot higher than them at seated level, or 3 feet, whatever. So this guy started heckling Joe Rogan, and the guy, Joe, pulled out his, he goes, "Dude, you better shut up or put my dick around your head and start you like an outboard," his famous heckler line. The guy stood up and was eye to eye with Joe Rogan. And again, Joe's maybe what, 5'7", 5'8", maybe he's 5'9", 5'10". But he's not, you know, not like 6'2". And then he's on a 3-4 foot high stage. And these guys are eye to eye. And Joe, in the microphone, goes, "Dude, you should sit down because something real bad is about to fucking happen to you." Security turned around at the time. Nick's had security. They ran to the stage. They got the guy. They throw him, his buddy, and his girlfriend out. Joe come off stage and go, "Joe, man, will you?" And Joe is like, I don't know, at the time, he knew like 7 kinds of taekwondo and jujitsu. Yeah. Tough fucking dude. And I go, "Dude, what if he swung it?" He goes, "I would fucking kill him." Just like that. You know, Joe, "I would have fucking killed him." Just like that. But I've never been in that kind. I felt like I was going to get my ass kicked, but I've never. Maybe it's because I live in New England and I really don't need to do a lot of road work because it's New England. I can drive 4 hours and I still make the same amount of money. But, oh, my God.
Right.
So I'm going to have to remember that next time I'm up there and go, "Oh, this fucking crowd, I hate them." I'm going to go, "Could be worse. Could get a chicken wing thrown at me."
Could get a chicken wing thrown at me. You could be pelted with dead bird parts.
Could be. Gigs by what's on your menu from now on.
Which, by the way, chicken wings, I'm not doing it. Our first Jody cooking episode will be chicken wings.
Oh, my God. I would totally want to. I would be the sponsor of the show for that. I want to see.
She's going to cook chicken wings, and then I'm going to eat them and throw them bones at her.
Throw them at her as she performs at the table. Well, wait a minute. If I'm a sponsor, I'm definitely throwing the chicken wings. And I love Jody. Jody, you're a beautiful woman. But if I had a chance to pelt you with a chicken wing, it's going to happen.
I'm going to bring a tennis racket this time. Seriously.
Oh, my brother corrected me. It was Lopan. Lopan from Big Trouble in Little China that got the knife to the head.
Lopan.
From
Lopan.
Yeah, from Jack Burton. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I look at the old clock on the wall. It is 1:37, which is about an hour and a half. That's our show. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank my amazing excuse me, my amazing guest, Wild Bill Dykes and Jody Fertig. Check them out at Facebook, the Stand Up and Eat. If you want to be on the show, be a sponsor, want to do a guest spot on Radio Art, irregardless of be a guest, email me at radioirregardless.com or call the hotline 978-219-9294. We'll see you guys next week.
This has been Radio Irregardless, hosted by Mark Scalia, your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoy. Radio Air Regardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia and broadcast live from Salem, Massachusetts via Mixlr.com. I'd like to thank my on-air guests, courtesy of Skype, and all the online listeners for their comments. The Radio Air Regardless theme music, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All material and content, property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2013. Thank you for listening.
And finally, anyone who uses the terms irregardless, a whole nother, or all of the sudden shall be sent to a work camp.